There are a lot of people looking for God. They run here and there, and they're attempting to find God or to learn about God. And the truth is, God is right before their very eyes. So all people need to do is find God is to look in the right spot. And God speaks of himself in the world today. He does not demonstrate himself in his glory. He does demonstrate himself in his glory today, and that glory is on display before every human being. And David is a man who loved God and loved to praise God. He was a man who personally knew God, and as a result, he gave God the glory. And that word glory that we see as we're going to be heading into this in verse 1 means that David praised God for his majesty and his splendor. And the question for us to ask is, how do we get to that point just like David? How do we get to the place where we believe and trust God like David did? Where do we go? Where do we look to develop our faith and our relationship with God? Well, this psalm gives us that answer. Two realities that are going to cause us to praise God for his majesty and splendor are God's world and God's word. God's majesty and splendor are right before our eyes. All we have to do to see it and develop the kind of faith David has is to look at it. This psalm is simple to divide. There's two main displays of the glory of God. First of all, God's glory is displayed by God's created world. Look at there, beginning in verse 1 of Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their measuring line goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them. There is nothing hidden from its heat. You know, Charles Spurgeon used to say that if a person can look at the skillful creation of God and then declare himself to be an atheist, he's either an idiot or a liar. God's creation speaks volumes about the power, the glory, and the majesty of God. God's world, first of all, is vast. The term expanse refers to the entire visible area which surrounds the earth. When one looks into the sky, one is immediately faced with a witness of a God who is infinite and immense. The expanse, the heavens declare that there is an unlimited God not bound by space, and the heavens are a continual publication of God, about God, his glory and majesty, silently speaking to you every time you look up. But his world witness is also constant. God speaks of his power and glory and majesty every day, day in and day out, night in and night out. Every time light comes and goes, God is revealing the story of himself to the universe. God is a constant, systematic, consistent, powerful, dependable God. But also in verse 3, we see that it's silent. The great witness of creation silently speaks of the greatness and glory of God. This witness is not verbal, it's not audible, but is eloquent. And all over the universe, God silently cries out his glory and majesty through his creation, to the point that every person everywhere is without excuse. We see that in Romans 1, verse 20. And also, God's witness is universal. Notice that this testimony of God is in all the earth. God has uttered truth about himself to every person in the universe through his majestic creation. There is no such thing as a person who does not know about the existence of a powerful and personal God. God has used his creation to silently speak to people who live in the remotest places, even the end of the world. And we see that it's specific. God is specifically use the sun to demonstrate his shining glory and majesty. The sun is so bright one day, dare not even look directly at it. And God is so majestic and holy, the same is true of him. There are two realities about the sun that testify about God's glory? It's, first of all, it testifies of God's glory. The sun is 109 times the diameter of the earth. Of all the bodies in the heavens, the sun is the most important to us here on earth. The sun is a great power plant that is able to send warmth and life-growing light to the entire universe. The temperature on the sun has been estimated at 11,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It is located some 93 million miles from Earth. The sun is a consistent and powerful demonstration of the glory of God. And that sun's activity testifies of God's glory. A bridegroom in David's day would head out at night to go get his bride. He would take several people with him, who each carried blazing lights. The bridegroom was dressed in glorious apparel when he came for his bride, and when the bride saw him coming, the light which shined on him made him look glorious. The sun runs to this earth every day. It rises in the east and sets in the west. Every day the sun comes and blazes a statement for the glory of God. Its radiance and heat testify day in and day out of the majesty and splendor of God. Peter the Great said that he thought people were foolish who did not get up to ever watch the sun rise or watch it set. He observed that people would travel great distances with great excitement to see something that has been built by finite man. But deity himself sends forth a daily demonstration of something no man could ever create, which is a visible display of God's glory, majesty, and splendor. But also, not just the world, but God communicates his glory by his inspired word. Look at verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So look at these statements about God's word here. God's word is perfect. This word means that God's word is the full, complete, whole revelation of God. And God's word is sure. God's word is trustworthy and reliable. It's something you truly can believe in. It's right. God's word reveals the straight, true, right things to believe and do. It's pure. The word indicates that shines forth what is clean and bright. It's true. There's nothing false in the word of God. It's all truth. Everything is factual and true. It's righteous. The words righteous altogether means that everything in the written word reveals God's righteousness. And it's rich. God's word is more valuable than gold and more valuable than much fine gold, which is the most expensive gold. And then it's sweet. It's going to reprove us in wonderful and sweet ways. And what it can do, there's 9 accomplishments as we watch the parallelism in this psalm. It can restore the soul. It can restore one lost in sin. It can restore one who is saved and in sin. It can make simple one that's simple become wise. Some of the wisest people you ever meet are not academic scholars, but men and women who love God's word. And it can cause one to rejoice. The word of God can bring joy to the hurting and troubled heart. And then it can lighten one as to the right path. It'll give understanding of what is right to anyone. And it can produce a fear of God. When one fears the Lord, it can clean a person up, and it's the word that can do that. And God's word will warn God's servants. God's word warns God's servants to stay in the word and close to the word, because there are negative consequences for those who drift from that focus. And God's word leads to great reward for God's servants. God's word challenges God's people to stay focused on obeying the word, because in doing that, there will be great reward. And God's word will cause men to see their errors. The word of God will cause a man to see where he falls short of the righteous ways of God. And then God's word will encourage a man that he's been acquitted from those errors. We truly want to glorify God, and if we want to have a life that glorifies God and will be rewarded by God, we must be very serious about understanding God's written word. And we see these last verses. David asked God to keep intentional sin from dominating his life. David asked God to permit his words to be acceptable to him. And David asked God to permit the meditation of his heart to be acceptable to God. We have a constant reminder of the power and genius of God in creation, and we have that power available to us in God's word.